Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and we're here every Saturday right here on News Talk 870. As always, I'd like to thank the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing this week?
Well, survived Friday the 13th.
Hey, that's that's my birthday, mister, that you're and so for everybody else, it might be unlucky, but you know what? I had a great week leading up to that day, and also a great day on that day. And I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm not young anymore, that's for sure. And young at heart, I'll tell you that much. But yes, absolutely, survived that scary day for you, but it was awesome for me. So
my mom was born on Halloween.
Oh wow,
that's I am not making that up.
That might even be scarier than Friday the 13th, like myself. We have with us in-house our lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street. Mike, how are you?
Well, I'm not afraid to say that I turned 50 2 weeks ago, Lance. So okay. If you want to step up and let the world know how old you are, then yeah.
All right. I guess if you're calling me out on it, I think I'm 41. I didn't stop to do the exact math, 50. But I think I'm pretty close to that.
What's
for,
up,
for
junior?
Sure. Oh, that's awesome. Well, we have been busy, like we talked about the last couple weeks. Those mornings a little chillier now. And we're definitely well into our fall season, but the market has not changed much at all. Still, numbers all tabulated and coming in from last month in September, still over 400 closed units, inventory hovering right around 750. So we're still, shall I say, at a brisk pace.
Yeah, what I see on my end is applications. You know, you get people coming in at Home Street and applying for loans and that kind of thing, and it never fails that we get through the parade and everyone gets back into school, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open back up again. And it's so funny that it happens every year. And the last couple weeks, I wasn't on last week, and there's the last 2 weeks have been, man, people either knew pre-approvals or that had got pre-approved earlier in the spring or last year, and they are seeing a little bit more inventory out there, and now all of a sudden, like, hey, I need to refresh my pre-approval and get ready to buy something here, and man, the numbers are coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, I'd really agree with that analysis. I was looking at some macro, bigger picture national numbers earlier this week. And when you look at what's going on, we talked about, I gave a video market update earlier this week to our database. And I said, hey, look, rates are still really low. But the numbers I'm seeing on a macro scale, I would bet significantly in favor that at the December Fed meeting, I think we're going to see a rate increase. The economic numbers are just too good from what's out there, even with all of the natural disasters and everything that happened. So I am thinking that your application increase, 100% correct. And I think there's going to be more people, I would encourage, if you haven't yet, to make application. No one knows for sure what's going to happen yet, but if I was a betting man and advising our clients, I would say if you've been on the fence a little bit, there's more homes to show. We're having greater success getting offers accepted with less multiple offers than we saw 4 months ago. So definitely time to take a look at that and crank away. Before we jump too far into today's subject, I always like to start off with our crazy residential story. And so the first one is author Susan Orlean. She wrote The Orchid Thief and had been a writer for the Times for years. She has a Studio City, California home recently listed on the market for $2.3 million, and that was purchased. We talk about appreciation across the nation. That was purchased in 2007 for 1.5. Now, modern architecture style, it's really interesting because you look at some of these modern architecture style homes that were built in the 40s and 50s, and then you look at some of the new construction that's going on now in that same realm. man, we've really kind of come full circle. And a lot of those homes that have been remodeled from the 40s and 50s, I tell you what, it's hard to tell them apart from the ones that were built 3 or 4 years ago in that same style. And just as a note to kind of compare, because I thought, okay, so here's our crazy celebrity real estate story. Before the show, I said, why don't I just look and see what's active and pending on the Tri-Cities market above $1 million, just to kind of compare with this crazy celebrity story. So, interesting number. That number was 10. So, active and pending homes above $1 million in the Tri-Cities right now in our MLS was 10. Now, I split that out between pending and active, and one was pending, and the other nine were active. So that will kind of give you an indication of what that market looks like. So let's say that closes. We come in a couple weeks and we tell you that that one closed, and you have nine active. We talked about absorption rate, how there's only a 2 month supply of homes if no other new homes come on the market in the Tri-Cities. Now, if there's one selling above $1 million every, say, 2 months, and we would have to go back and look at the history, but right now that could be setting the new pace in the next couple of weeks. And we have nine active. Now, as opposed to that, that means in that price point, we have a 9 month supply of homes, and we could get a little more technical on that. So just a reminder, when you're looking at those markets, to kind of split out those price segments, sometimes that gross overall number, it's great statistically, but it might not be applicable to your current situation. So one of the things we like to do is we like to take real life scenarios of what's happening in the business, what we're seeing happen a lot, and then kind of bring those topics to the show. And so we had a couple things this week, and a couple calls come up where it brought to light some interesting things that happen with buyers. One call in particular that came into the office was a gal said, "Hey, I've got three homes I'd like to go see." And so we always start by asking questions. Okay, great. Which three would you like to go look at? How long have you been looking? Who are you working with on the mortgage side of things? It's really funny. This isn't just a radio show. We really don't operate any much different than we do on the radio. The same type of things we talk about with Mike is the same type of things we're telling our callers and our clients. Okay, who have you gone to talk to about the mortgage? Well, I've gone to talk to Mike Denzel. Okay, great. And then it's like, have you been working with any other agents? There's 800 agents in town. We cooperate with each other. We sell each other's listings. We're not out there trying to steal people's clients. There's a difference between trying to steal someone's clients and win business in the first. And this particular caller is like, well, I saw three homes yesterday with XYZ. So immediately the call changes drastically there. And we are like, okay, well, great. If that's your client, why don't we give them a courtesy call and maybe they could show you these houses? Well, I'm not working with that agent. Or what she said exactly was, well, I didn't find the home I liked with them. So, you know, I'm going to go see these three with you guys. And so then our next question is, okay, great. Well, is that your agent though? And a lot of times it's an education piece, because this particular caller was like, well, I don't think that's my agent. What do you mean by that? So we really kind of had to go into the process, and I thought, gosh, this is going to make a great radio show topic. And I just came through some classes, some additional training classes and continuing ed classes that I took about Washington State's real estate law. And the one thing that we went through and that we took this client through that process was that we're not just door openers. And if you just need a door opener, we're probably not a good fit for you as a client, because there's 800 agents. A lot of people can go open doors. But one of the things we really like to do, and I think we talk about a lot on the radio, is we really feel like we're going to be an advisor to help you make the best real estate decision. And so in this particular example I gave, I talked to the client and said, okay, so you went and saw three houses with another agent. Maybe you weren't happy, or you didn't like that person, or there was a personality thing. Now that's totally different. But let's say that wasn't the case. You're just not understanding the process. You called us because we had this house listed. You go see three houses with that other agent, then you see three with me. And at the end of the scene, the three with me, you say, gosh, this just doesn't really compare to the one that I saw yesterday on Birch. And so now what's happening is you're making a comparison as the client, and I have no realm to help you make a good decision or advisement. Now, had I seen those three with you yesterday and we had that relationship where, yeah, I'm going to be the one that sees you through this process and we've committed to each other to do that, I can say, well, here's the difference between the one on Birch. Here's why I think this house has more value. And I now have the same perspective you do to help you make those decisions. If we're just jumping around and it comes down to which agent shows me the exact best house, that's not the proper relationships that we're out there looking for. And what ends up happening, which I believe is even worse in that scenario, is you're potentially setting your agent up for violating parts of the licensing law or violating parts of the realtor's code of ethics. And I, you know, I just don't wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I hope I'm in a situation where I violate the realtor code of ethics today. I mean, it's just not never ever has that been a single thought in my mind when I left the house in the morning to go to work. And so a lot of times people don't realize that. So I wanted to go over a couple quick things. And that becomes the expectations that we have from each other. And when I took my, I always go over and I go back to, and I wish more agents even understood what was in the law of real estate agency. And so when we look in Washington State, we've got RCW 1886.120, and that starts to go over duties that a broker has in general. And the number one duties that the law in Washington lays out is that we have to exercise reasonable skill and care. And so we lay it out. We have a buyer's guide that when we meet with one of these buyers, we say, look, we're not going to be a door opener. Our number one, what our clients can expect in the Kenmore Team Buyer's Guide is provide excellence in your experience through our loyalty and exclusive representation, communication, strict confidentiality, and experienced buyer's agents supported by a team of professionals. So we really feel like we encompass that number one legally obligated duty of a real estate broker also in our pledge. Number two duty that's required by this law is to deal honestly and in good faith. And so we run into these situations a lot of times where we're supposed to be dealing honestly and in good faith, and it's crazy. I know this is a crazy concept, but I'm legally required to do it. I'm going to expect my clients to do it. Now, I know that's crazy out there, people, but, you know, we're going to have the same expectation. So one of the things that's interesting about that is, yeah, if you did go see five houses with another agent and I ask you, what agent have you been working with? I expect to get the answer of who you've been working with and what was going on. And then we can honestly talk about that situation. Maybe you committed to them. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're looking for a change. When we have that communication, it helps us make the best decisions. Like I said, we're looking to be an advisor, not just a door opener. And we're also looking for long-term success in our career is having a good relationship with these other agents that we're interacting with. It is 80% chance that when I find you a house to purchase, it's not going to be because out of the 700 homes on the market, Lance Kenmore would love to have all of those listed. I try my darndest to have all of those listed, but it's never going to happen. There's going to be 650 listed by other agents. We're going to have that good relationship to say, hey, here's our buyer. How can we make this transaction work? So part of that is keeping those relationships intact. Really comes down to the deal honestly and in good faith that's in the licensing law. When we come back from the break, I'm going to dig into what's going on with Mike at Home Street. And we're going to talk more about the law of agency and how that works for buyers and really how buyers can leverage this to their advantage when they're looking to buy a home.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about local issues in the real estate market. We've also been talking about how buyers can utilize the law of real estate agency and leverage basically some of what that law requires from the broker that you're working with. Now, a lot of brokers in town, a lot of good brokers, will talk to you about being an advisor versus just a door opener. A lot of times, you know, 10 years ago, finding the house for the client was maybe a large part of the situation. But as our business has evolved, as we've used technology to get faster and faster, a lot of times in today's day and age, our client finds the house that they want to go see. They get an alert while we're getting our coffee. An alert automatically went out, and the client's calling us. You know, you're walking out of Starbucks with your coffee, and your client calls and says, "Hey, I'm sitting at my computer in a new house, just got emailed to me. Let's go see it." And so in today's day and age, our business has really changed to now where it might not be that we find the exact house, but we're your advisor through your 29-page contract that used to be 4 pages, by the way. And so there's a lot more to look at and go through, and also inspections and repairs and what you should expect. So we've been talking a little bit about how the law of real estate agency applies in that situation. Before we go into a little more detail about that, one of the largest parts and most critical parts about that situation and that process is who you're working with on the lending side and what you can expect from that lender. And one of the best in the business here with us today, as always, Mike Denslow at Home Street. Mike, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. Good to have you in, and thanks for taking care of some of our buyers the last couple of weeks. We've had some great closings and worked through situations and people came up. So appreciate the help on those.
Awesome. Thanks, Lance.
What else is going on at Home Street that we need to know about?
Well, I'm sitting here listening to you talk about, you know, buyers and different things on your side and the value that you bring and much more than the door opener. I love that. And it's funny, on the lending side, yeah, there's a term, mortgage planner. And when I talk to a lot of clients, and several of them just call in, they call the number and they get you on the phone and, hey, what's the rate and what's this and what's that? And, you know, we don't want to be just a rate, right? We want to be more than that. And one of the first questions that alarms some people when I talk to them is, well, how long are you going to have the house? And they're just like, well, what does that matter?
They might not have even thought about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes into the fact that we want you to pay the least amount of money, you know, and not just the lowest rate. And, hey, I'm only going to have this house 3 to 5 years. It's going to be my first house, and my fiance and I are going to get married. We're going to start a family, and then we're going to buy something bigger. Oh, well, then that's different. In that case, maybe the lowest rate isn't the best option. You know, rather than paying a whole bunch of money to get the lowest rate, maybe a slightly higher rate with less closing costs make more sense. I mean, there's so many different ways to look at it. And mortgage planner, right? I mean, that's what we do. And the big thing, and you and I have talked about this a lot, and we were in a meeting earlier in the week before your birthday.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, when I was younger.
When you were younger. And we talked about, you were asked, why do you recommend Mike at Home Street? And, you know, reputation's one thing, but, you know, we're looking to do such a good job. And people that aren't in sales, you know, don't really think about this, but we're looking at doing such a good job that at the end, when they move in and they have that housewarming party, they say, oh, you know, who helped you with the house? Oh, Lance at the Kenmore team. Great. Who did your mortgage? Oh, Mike at Home Street. How did they do? They did a great job. Right?
Absolutely.
That's what we want. We want that person-to-person referral, because we want to grow our business that way. We don't do a ton of marketing outside of a hydroplane, because we're expected to do such a good job and take care of that client that they're so happy that they get the personal recommendation from our clients. And that goes all the way to the top of corporate, that is what we're expected to do. The accountability, when we get a contract in, we look at the closing date and we reverse engineer how this closing is going to go. When do we order the appraisal? Disclosures being signed, closing disclosures being signed. We reverse engineer the whole thing. And I had two of your assistants, Holly and Kim, in my office a month ago, and I went through and I was like, here's how I look at everything. And they were just like, this is great information to help us when we're dealing with other lenders maybe that are helping out, that we can hold them accountable because they don't have to really worry about us doing things on time, but others. And so we look at it differently. It's not just a rate. I mean, you're just not a door opener, and we're just not a rate.
No, I like how you really brought that full circle, and you're right. That reverse engineering, I found that whether it's a lender we're working with, or it's a contractor that we're working with, or a builder, you know, one that comes to mind off the top of my head is I give the example a lot of times. We do a lot of work with Titan Homes, and you know, we're all kind of that same mindset where when you know they'll get a permit, and they'll have a closing date. And they will reverse engineer backwards from that, you know, from that permit date and every step of the way. If we framed by here, we can be sheetrocked by here. We can be trimmed by here. And so they set out that schedule. And it's a lot of work on the front end. I know how much work that is for you guys. But it also allows you then to immediately know. It's much better to know it at the 3-week mark than it is the 3-day mark before closing that something stacked up and didn't work out right.
Absolutely. So we look at the close date, and we know that everybody wants to sign the day before. We don't want the stress of the same day sign and fund, which we can still do, but nobody wants that stress. So we set you up to sign the day before. Then you have to sign the closing disclosure 3 days before that, which means we have to have the appraisal back to do the closing disclosure. There's several lenders that we hear of routinely that won't finalize the closing disclosure until they're done with final underwriting, which we're so keyed on that close date that we're still going to do these things so that we meet the close date. So there's just, I wanted to go real quick and give a shout out to our loan officers, because it's just, I keep hearing that the things that we're doing are doing things the right way, and that's why we're getting these referrals. Mark Carroll, Scott Unger, Dorothy Lopez Stevens, Gretchen Beck, Dan O'Neill, Kendall Becker, and myself. We are the loan officers. We've got assistance. We've got processing. We've got everything going there. And I'm so happy. Basically, I started Home Street here in the Tri-Cities 4 years ago. Home Street is a 95-year-old bank out of Seattle, and it's just been an amazing partnership. And, you know, the last 2 years, we've done more purchase loans than anyone else in Tri-Cities, and we're just super happy to be part of this community.
Mike, that's awesome. That's great. That's great information. Now, I will tell you, I have homes for people to buy with that mortgage money that you're giving away. So here's a quick pick three of some fantastic homes that we have. This first one is absolutely stunning home. So this is 1074 Allen White in Richland. Now this is a stucco rambler with a basement, and the panoramic views are incredible. It's 5-bedroom, 4-bath, just over 4,000 square feet. Beautiful landscaping, waterfall, pond feature. The main level has stunning hardwood floors, great room concept. You've got just an absolute amazing slider that takes you out to a big deck, and you can see the river, you can see the valley. This is just one of those quality view estate style homes in Richland. This is coming in priced at $575, so just over 4,000 square feet for $575. Pick number two. Now we're taking you a little bit the opposite direction from Richland. We're going North Pasco. This is 51 Metcalf Road. This is 5.7 irrigated acres in North Pasco. 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, master bedroom, private bathroom. This is about 1,300 square feet. Huge front deck, covered back deck, lots of trees, really cool property, and this is priced at $250,000. Hard to find 5.7 irrigated acres, North Pasco, kind of that private setting there. And then pick number three, 8720 West 2nd in Kennewick. This is a former parade home, 4-bedroom, 4-bath. Absolutely great, entertaining home, 2,700 square feet. In Hanson Park, you've got an upper-level master suite, walk-in closet, private bath, slider off the kitchen that takes you out to your outdoor living space. You've got a great pool, cabana, hot tub room. Be ready for the spring next year with this house priced at $419,900. So a lot of amenities in that price range. A lot of good inventory that we have coming on the market right now. So it's a great time to be out there looking. And there's still time. We talked last week a lot about still time to get homes on the market and sold before the holidays. And it's something that we're going to start thinking about and advising our clients about more as they call with those questions. But they're still in a great market like this. You're going to have a better chance than you would say 3 or 4 years ago in that same time period. With still looking at those inventory numbers, we have more inventory that we can take on. Few more things to go over. We talked a little bit about the law of real estate agency. How does that law apply to brokers in general? What duties do they owe their clients? One of the next one on the list, the third duty that brokers owe every single client in every single situation, and there's a lot of talk about this in the industry a lot of times, and that is the duty to present all written offers and notices and other written communications to and from either party in a timely manner, regardless of whether the property is subject to an existing contract for sale or if the buyer is already a party to an existing contract to purchase. So the question comes up, well, where would this come into play, Lance? Well, let's say another home is under contract. It went under contract 2 days ago. Maybe it didn't get updated properly in the computer, so you show it to a buyer. And your buyer wants to see the house. And you have a feeling that maybe that house didn't sell for full price. And so your buyer says, you know what? I'm willing to pay full price or maybe even over full price for this house. I bet the other buyer that just wrote their contract, I bet they're going to have an inspection. So you know what, Lance? It's listed at $200,000. Why don't we offer $205,000 and put it in there, give it to the other agent, get that presented. And then that way, if something happens during the inspection, they'd likely to not fix things or take my offer. Well, it just so happens the other real estate agent, you know, maybe somebody in their office represented the other buyer or they did themselves. So they get that. They've already sold the house. They get that contract that says they're offering $205,000. They have to present that to the seller. They don't get to make any decisions about what the seller sees or if this will complicate the process or provide more them to do more paperwork. They are legally obligated by the law to present that offer to the seller. So same thing with any communications or notices. It's one of the main factors of our business and that the law applies for is anytime you get a notice or an offer. And the other time when this really comes into play, let's say no other offers are on the property. You have a house listed at $200,000 and you get a written offer for $75,000. You represent your seller and you get this offer and you're like, $75,000, really? And it's like $200,000. And you're saying to yourself, you just want to say no. You just want to call back the other agent and that other buyer, and you just want to say, no, are you kidding me? No, why would I even present this to my client? That's what you want to say, but you can't because the law dictates every single, that's a written communication from another party, you are required to make your seller aware of that and present that. Let me tell you, those are not very fun conversations either. When you're working for a seller and representing them, and then you bring for $200,000 and you bring them an offer for $75,000. There's a way to present it, but the seller gets to make that decision, not the agent that's working for them in that capacity. So it's really interesting. A lot of people don't know that. We kind of take things a step further sometimes, especially when we're in multiple offer situations in our office. We realize it's frustrating by a buyer sometimes to know, gosh, did they even receive my offer or did they look at it? So we always try to keep a chain of command that goes through and documentation where people, even if they rejected the offer, we provide proof that the seller has reviewed that and looked at that offer as a courtesy to the other agents in the market. Next duty that a broker is required to do, and this is an interesting one, is a broker is required to disclose all existing material facts known by that broker and not apparent or readily ascertainable to a party, provided that this is not construed to imply that that broker does additional investigations. So basically what that means is, regardless of who a broker is representing in that situation, if there's a material fact that they know about a property that a buyer may not, then they're going to need to disclose that. So what's happening? Let's say and a good example of this is the broker's at a city council meeting the week before, and he discovers that Keene Road is being widened from 4 lanes to an 8-lane freeway. Congratulations, South Richland.
Hypothetically,
yeah. Let's not say that. This did not happen. Hypothetically, the next day he's out showing homes, and maybe the rear yard of this home goes up to that easement. Now, a buyer probably wasn't at that meeting, and they wouldn't know that. But now the broker knows that. And now that the broker has that knowledge and they're out there showing that property, that's going to be a material fact to value. The broker has an obligation now, if they know that, to bring that forward to their client. Now, that's a sticky situation that happens, because a lot of times there's things that not even brokers or the public knows that happen, and there's just no way to prevent that. But if it's known and could ever be proved it was known by the broker, they have an obligation. So as brokers, we like to stay educated. Like I said, a lot of today's topic came from me taking additional classes about real estate, reviewing real estate law, looking at risk mitigation, talking about these things. So yeah, there's just a lot of obligations out there. And I think education, learning, and staying up on that technology forever will be what we're trying to do.
So you're a buyer advisor, not just a door opener.
Absolutely. It'd be real easy to open that door and not say any of that stuff. So absolutely. We bring it back to that. So just please note that one of the things that differentiates us is our staff is constantly trained on this. We're talking about these subjects weekly at our meetings. We're staying up to date with the most up-to-date decisions and court cases and how they affect our clients, and adding that to the arsenal of advisement that we're giving our clients. Appreciate everything you guys have done for us and all of the referrals. We have had a ton of radio listener referrals over the last 2 weeks. Glad to help anybody in that family or friends that are looking. And thanks again to our listeners of the show. Mike, what's the contact info at Home Street to get a hold of you?
572-3651 is my direct line.
Fantastic. And you can always go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message.
And we will be right back here next week. I stole your line on News Talk 870.